Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Daily Tech News Show is powered by you. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support. This is the Daily Tech News for Wednesday, May 23rd, 2018. From Studio Feline, I am Sarah Lane. Tom Merritt is on vacay this week.
From Salt Lake City, where I've been fished for the first time. It's a long story. I'm not going to tell it here, but I fell for a fishing scheme for the first time in my life. I'm Scott Johnson.
How do you set that up and not tell us what happened?
I know. I'll give you the short of it. I got a bunch of codes from Blizzard Entertainment to give away to our fantastic listeners of a show of mine. They were all excited about getting codes for this beta of a game that comes out in August. And then somebody followed up with another email saying, hey, I'm part of the systems team here. Here are five additional codes in case any don't work. I need the full spreadsheet of all the names of people that you were giving these to at the end so we can verify access. I didn't bother to dig much further. I thought it was legit. I sent them the whole spreadsheet, and now nobody can get their codes to work. So, well done, Internet. You got me.
That's the man.
Yeah, it's a bummer. We're working it out, though. Blizzard's amazing, and I'm an idiot, and we're going to make good on all of it, but it's still annoying and kind of a pain in my butt.
Well, yeah. I mean, it does happen.
It does.
Even to the smart people, such as Roger Chang. Roger, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm good. Thank you. What's going on in the eastern part of our L.A. basin?
It's surprisingly chilly. It's like in the mid-60s here, and it's overcast.
Nice.
Yeah.
Give us traffic later or just the weather now? Or
I don't do traffic. I don't do traffic.
Well, you know what we do? Tech news. So let's start with a few tech things you should know. Sources tell Bloomberg that Apple's manufacturing partner TSMC is making 7-nanometer processors for new iPhones that should be launched later this year, possibly called the A12. That would be the next successor. The 7-nanometer design would be faster, smaller, and more efficient than the 10-nanometer chips that Apple uses in the iPhone 8 and 10 currently. TSMC said in April it did start mass producing 7-nanometer processors, but at the time did not say who for.
I have an idea. Speaking of Apple, Apple users in the EU can now download a copy of all the data Apple has collected via a new data and privacy website, which has App Store and iTunes activity, Apple ID and device information, online and retail activity, Apple Care support history, and more, all the stuff you've really ever done where they have data from you. The EU got priority due to GDPR and roll out to the rest of the world soon. So they plan on making this available everywhere, despite the fact that these are not rules in some countries, but they want to make it everywhere. Apple says it will take up to 7 days to process requests for security reasons.
Sources tell Axios Ireland-based online gaming company Paddy Power Betfair is buying fantasy sports site FanDuel. The two companies had possible merger talks earlier this month after the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that states can legalize sports betting. Paddy Power will merge its U.S. assets with FanDuel and contribute $158 million in cash. FanDuel planned a 2017 merger with DraftKings, but was denied by U.S. antitrust regulators.
Guess what, Roger? Guess what's still in? Gambling. People are into it, turns out.
It's a thing that won't go away. It's like eating.
Yeah, it's a little bit like eating.
I mean, first of all, I love the fact that a gaming company is called Paddy Power Betfair, based in Ireland, so good work. Yeah. And we actually, Roger and I talked to Justin last Thursday about this, and you know, both of us were sort of like, gambling, how's that work? Is it a big deal? So luckily, we will be with him tomorrow to talk a little bit more about the story and what it means. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk a little more about Comcast. Oh, Comcast. Comcast confirms it's preparing to buy large portions of 21st Century Fox, including Fox's 30% stake in Hulu, for a rumored $60 billion as part of a hostile bid. You might recall, Walt Disney currently has a $52.4 billion offer to buy the same company. The sale does not include Fox News, Fox Business, or the Fox Broadcasting Company. Separately, Comcast is in the process of trying to acquire Sky as well, which is a British pay TV network. We're going to talk about this a little later in the show, but a lot of speculation going on.
We are not too far from a reality where most of the content and media of this world will be owned by one of two corporations, Disney or Comcast, and they will be fighting until the end. So for those who are worried about not having enough competition in the future when it comes to this stuff, at least you'll have two. Two choices out there, and they're going to own everything, and I don't know how I feel about it, but we will talk way more in the middle of the show. Yes, Cisco's Talos Intelligence Group says that more than 500,000 routers and network devices in 54 countries have been infected with malware. It's called VPN Filter, which contains a kill switch for routers, can steal logins and passwords, and can monitor industrial control systems. Ugh, that last one makes me nervous. VPN Filter has infected routers in the Ukraine in particular, with a spike in infections in the Ukraine on May 8th and May 17th. Talos researchers say routers from Linksys, MikroTik, Netgear, TP-Link, they're all affected. And they use malware shares that many of the same code is used, or sorry, that the malware shares many of the same code used in known Russian cyber attacks, and called the attack, quote, likely state-sponsored, unquote. Well, that's a comforting paragraph, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't it? I mean, if the lion's share of the affected routers are in Ukraine, one would come to that conclusion, mm-hmm. right? Sure. What that means, I'm certainly, not up on the news enough to speculate. However, having a kill switch for a number of routers in the, 500,000 plus, mm-hmm. is significant.
No, it's breathtaking. Like, that's a lot of routers. Now, what that would actually mean, I'm trying to think practically, might mean, well, router's down. This is a very sensitive thing, so we need to go to our redundant routers. If those are also down, then I don't know. Like, redundancy is a question, and I would hope that a lot of these places, especially the ones referring to themselves as, let's see, what do they call themselves? Industrial control systems. Let's hope that they have more than just a little bit of tape and string to keep all that stuff together. Uber is shutting down testing of self-driving cars in Arizona after one of its cars killed a pedestrian in March. That was an accident. I think we've talked about it on the show before. In an internal email, Uber executive Eric Mayhofer wrote that Uber would be shifting its focus to Pittsburgh, where the company has been testing self-driving cars since 2016, and San Francisco, where Uber is also headquartered. Uber hopes to resume testing in Pittsburgh this summer after all testing was grounded following the accident. About 200 Uber employees' jobs in Arizona will be affected by this change. I still don't know why. I mean, I understand there's an accident. I get it. You want to take all precautions. It was Elon Musk who was ranting on Twitter not long ago about, for the one accident that you hear about from an autonomous car, no one reports on the 30,000 that happened that same year just from regular old driving. And I think he kind of has a bit of a point in regards to where we're focusing the news. But because this is a new thing, it's this potentially an industry altering, life altering, culturally altering thing that could happen over time. That's why the media tends to focus on the flub-ups as they happen. But I don't quite understand why Arizona would no longer be a good testing place for this. It seems like there are plenty parts of Arizona anyway that would be, I don't know, less people walking around, so better place to test.
Yeah. I mean, I know Pittsburgh for Uber in this market, you know, they've been testing for a couple of years now. So in that sense, it makes sense that they would want to keep testing as long as everything's been going well there. There is probably a lot of local backlash that maybe you don't hear about or, you know, feel unless you're in the Arizona area where somebody actually died. So this is probably a little bit of a PR thing. 200 Uber employees losing their jobs, not good. I know the majority of those were self-driving testers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's possible that it was, you know, a market that, you know, wasn't going to be expanding anyway for Uber, but, you know, just kind of unfortunate.
Yeah.
President Trump may find ZTE and force management changes to the board and managers as well as an alternative to the current 7-year ban on U.S. firms supplying parts to ZTE, which has effectively broken ZTE's business. Members of Congress have already accused the president of making a deal with a company, that ZTE, that has already admitted to violating sanctions on Iran. Trump said that U.S. tech companies have also been hurt by the Commerce Department's decision back in April that prohibits them from selling components to ZTE. Trump said a fine could reach $1.3 billion, but he didn't give details on how this would be legal, and he has the jurisdiction to do this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a ton to say about it, except I find this ZTE story as it develops just super, super odd. Like, it just seems at contradiction to policy during both the lead up to the election and since he's taken office. It seemed like we were trying to position ourselves in a much more competitive position against Chinese practices in terms of how we're doing commerce with them now versus what we'd want to do. And it seems like this is like a weird one-off where someone's got a friend someplace, and it's weird. Like, I find it very, very strange that we're throwing any money, heat, effort, whatever behind trying to save a Chinese corporation. Again, I'm not saying that's the bad idea or a good idea or whatever that idea is. I'm just saying it feels contrary to everything else leading up to it. So I don't quite understand it. And I don't think it's political to say that, you know, this, we run into these things here and there in this administration, so maybe it's not that surprising. But I find this one in particular, especially from a tech angle, just a little odd.
Yeah, me too.
Very weird. Starting today, U.S. Facebook users can now browse through home service professionals in the Facebook marketplace. Oh, I just had something done to my fence. I should have done this. Including house cleaners, plumbers, contractors, as well as price quotes for services like Handy, Home Advisor, and Porch. They're all partners at the launch. As of last year, Marketplace has been growing at a rate of 18 million new listings per month. That's a lot. At least I think it is. And search volume has increased 3 times as of last October. Amazon is a pretty similar category. It launched several years ago, while Walmart recently partnered with Handy. And Google is also working with both Home Advisor and Porch to connect its voice assistant users with home pros nearby. That's fascinating to me because I do think that, like ride sharing, we've talked about Uber before. I just feel like there's a lot of room to grow in the space of, I need to get something fixed, replaced, added to, whatever, and being able to get those services in a way that are less about me looking up something in the yellow pages and getting 50 bids. If Facebook is the hub for that, I guess that's cool. I don't know. How do you feel about it?
Well, the three of us were talking before the show, and I was like, I have never once used the Facebook Marketplace, at least not to, you know, actually get a service. Yeah, I kind of look through it here and there every once in a while, but just haven't used it. But okay, so what do I do if I want somebody to fix my plumbing? I search for plumber, Venice, California on the internet, you know? So it's like, I'm kind of doing what Facebook is trying to make easier for all of us. They're partnering with companies that already have a large number of professionals that they're, you know, trying to connect with me. So it's not like they're reinventing the wheel. But as you mentioned, if you and Roger and, you know, maybe a couple other people say like, this is the best plumber, then I'm going to do that. If I find that on Facebook, all the better. And everybody's on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And 18 million listings a month seems pretty good to me. We just had a fence thing done, and we did it the old-fashioned way. Called around names that we found, and I think we Googled them, but It was basically like looking them up in the Yellow Pages, and had two or three bids and then picked the lowest guy, and it all worked out fine and everything was good. But I am not surprised to see this stuff getting more and more centralized, more and more automated, more and more, you know, connected to the people who need the work done. And Facebook's huge, so why not? You know, we're all this talk about Facebook lately and all of the negative press that Facebook gets in recent news. This is actually a pretty positive thing, I think. And then someone will figure out a way to take advantage of it, and then we'll all be mad that it exists. So yeah,
I fight with people. Well, I don't fight with them. I secretly fight with them in my brain with people on Facebook about all sorts of things. Yep. But if somebody tells me, like, this is the guy, this is your plumber, I'm probably going to go with that. Yep. You know?
Sure.
Yeah. It's that social network working for us. Hey, everybody, to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes or less, subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com. All right, so we talked a little bit earlier in the show about the idea of Comcast buying 21st Century Fox rather than Disney, which already has a bid out. And, you know, I mean, it still had to go through regulation, but a lot of people thought that that was the deal. So Comcast's bid is not too much higher. It's $60 billion rather than $52.4 billion, which is Walt Disney's offer, which is considered a hostile bid because they're trying to take over something that's already in process. Doesn't include, again, like we said before, Fox News, Fox Business, Fox Broadcasting, includes sports, includes movies, includes a 30% stake in Hulu, along with other things.
Which is Scott, the entire stake in Hulu, right? I think that's all Fox's controlling interest is in Hulu at the moment. So it'd be the entirety of their interest in Hulu, I think.
You know, when I read the story, you know, beyond the sort of like, I don't know, like one big company buys Fox or another one does, the Hulu thing is interesting to me because Hulu has, along with Amazon and Netflix and some other networks, had some original content successes lately, right? Mm-hmm. And that is something that a lot of companies want to get a bite of. Mm-hmm. 30% stake, well, okay. But that seems like, along with the whole film arm of this, that this is probably very attractive to a company like Comcast. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. I mean, look, Comcast already, I mean, I said it earlier in the show, we really are heading to a place where it's two main competitors in media. Whether we like it or not, that's where we're headed. And if we don't like it, we should do something about it, I guess. But it seems like that's kind of how we're going to go. Here's my thinking. Comcast already owns NBC, and then all the NBC-owned properties, sci-fi, I can't even think of them all, but all the NBC cable channels, all of that stuff, already. This would now be Comcast owning what would have been one of the big four rival networks and therefore owning two of them. Now, Disney owns one of them. Also, it's CBS or ABC. I always forget which one. My brain doesn't work.
ABC.
ABC, yep.
So, mm-hmm. So they're similar but not quite in that they don't have two major networks that are normally pitted against one another, having them under the same roof. To me, that seems like weird competition rule breaking, and I don't know anything about those laws. So one of these smart lawyers that listens to DTNS is going to write in and set this entire record straight, and I'm stoked about that because they always do, and they're so smart. But that feels like a weird thing to me. And I know that, you know, you could say this about all the channels they own. Why isn't sci-fi technically competition for NBC Prime? I don't know. But it does feel like having Fox in there is a little bit weird. How this applies to me, though, is who gets X-Men, who gets the rights to the Fantastic Four to finally do that stuff right? Like, just from a nerd perspective, I was excited about Disney because Disney's got the MCU rolling like a monster right now, and they're getting it right. So I don't know what NBC does with that, or rather Comcast does with that. Like, does that become some kind of weird cable exclusive? Do they not even touch those things? Do they let them sit? Do they work with Marvel on some kind of deal? And then that's a twisted thing where the two biggest media corporations in the world are sharing ideas. Like, I don't know. Like, the whole thing feels like in 20 years, if we flash forward, we just find a hellscape of two companies running everything.
Well, I mean, if you look at it from the perspective of what they're looking to, what they will get when they get this, they'll get an additional outlet for their content, which includes licensing rights that they don't already have. And they get a production arm that allows them to generate more content. Two very important things for any media conglomerate, right? the ability to generate content and an outlet in which to sell it through. And so they could very well be positioning themselves not just from a very US-centric position, but in a global perspective, right? By being able to leverage the licensing rights that Fox already had in various countries, because you know it's you know there's going to be a time where all these companies are going to be global companies, and they're going to they already are, but in terms of content, you know, they want to kind of do what Netflix does: is I produce once and you can watch anywhere, right? Whether I'm in France or whatever, Australia, I can watch the same season of Stranger Things that gets shown in the US. And yes. And so what I'm thinking is that they're looking at it to expand their reach in the US, but also to kind of broaden out their international reach that they so desperately want.
Yeah.
Of note, and we mentioned it earlier in the show, Comcast is also looking to buy Sky, which is a big British pay TV subscriber. Yep. And also, if this were to happen, right, Comcast still has to get through the Department of Justice, which is currently trying to stop AT&T from buying Time Warner. And rumors in the past said that a judge was expected to rule on the AT&T Time Warner merger by June 12th, and Comcast was waiting for that outcome to make a move. So for whatever reason, they have not waited.
Well, if Tom was here, he would be talking me down from my emotional reaction tree. But since he's in Australia, running around on beaches, having a good time, all I can do is think about our Blade Runner future, where everything is mega corporation controlled. Governments are no longer really governments and elected by the people, but run by giant faceless corporations. And
well, the devil's advocate is that ideally, if this goes through, you would be able to get a lot of this content through one pipe. Now, the pricing on that pipe might vary depending on where you're at. But like you would be able to get a lot of these unless Comcast wants to reintroduce the set, you know, the tiering that we have on cable, at least in the US cable TV, right? Mm-hmm. Where you have different tiers. So, you know, another way to kind of segment their subscription offerings or segment their offerings into various subscriptions.
Right. So. But they also own all these stations now under these subsidiaries, and would if they got Fox, they'd have that much more. That would include FX and a million other things Fox is doing, plus all the Fox production stuff that's already shows and other networks. And then they also control, if you're a traditional cable subscriber, they're controlling the actual pipe to your house. Like, not just the internet, forget about that for a minute, just the cable to your house to get you the programming you want is also them controlling it. Like, none of this seems like it should, I don't know about legal, but it feels nebulous in terms of its legality.
It seems very cartel like.
Yeah.
I think
Disney for whatever reason, I don't feel like the Disney one is quite as hardcore.
It's because Disney doesn't do broadband subscriptions, do they? The Magic Kingdom tier of high speed broadband, or like, you know, the teapot ride level. Like, if you just need to,
if they did, it would be safe to say they would gouge us just like Comcast tries.
Oh, I'm sure they would. Yeah. It's what's interesting though is the $16 billion will be financed, so it's probably not something. I mean, it's something they're going to need to borrow money for, right? They don't have $16 billion on hand to pay for it, so. There is a danger that if some of this stuff falls out in terms of popularity of content that Fox has, or they're not cranking out movies that people want to watch, it could handcuff the company because they would have invested so much money into this acquisition. Long term, you know. So right. There's an obvious benefit for Comcast up front. But there's a potential for a downside if superhero comic book movies suddenly get cold and, you know, they need to come up with another genre that they're not, you know, in a position to provide.
Right. Well, I think it's fascinating.
Well, me too. I don't know. I mean, This was a story that broke, well, it broke this morning, but you know, it's timely. So we're going to have a lot more updates on this, whether or not this actually happens, whether the DOJ is going to approve it, and more.
Or more importantly, whether or not Klinger is the newest Disney princess. And I don't have closure on this because they get MASH.
Klinger?
They get MASH in this deal. And if they, so now they control all the old MASH stuff, anything they might do in the future. And Klinger was supposed to be the latest, greatest Disney princess.
MASH v. Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah.
Make it happen. All right. Thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit every day. We use your stories to choose our own, especially for headlines. I did it this morning. Submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com and facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow is where to go if you prefer Facebook. We don't care. We just want to chat with you. And thanks for the support. Time to check the mailbag. Mark in Canada has thoughts on our story we talked about yesterday about Amazon providing facial recognition tech to law enforcement. Roger and Patrick and I were sort of like, huh, okay, what's this all mean? Mark says, Amazon acquired Ring not too long ago. Unlike the competition, like Nest, hello, Ring doorbell cameras don't do facial recognition, at least not now. It also doesn't record 24/7 video like the Nest Hello. You can see here that Amazon maybe is trying to perfect that AI and then maybe even use the network of Ring doorbells to help spot suspects, given that they also start providing 24/7 recordings. Ring already promised facial recognition in an update coming this year.
Wow. I need to get a Ring. Do you guys have one?
No.
Okay.
I don't. I don't necessarily think that Amazon is trying to provide technology to law enforcement so that law enforcement can tap into people standing at our doorsteps.
No, probably not.
But I do think that if Amazon is trying to prove its AI model and law enforcement is a really great way to, you know, do that, then it's not necessarily some nefarious step that it's taking.
Also, somebody came to your house and was like a known burglar or something like that. Just to throw this out there as a hypothetical, you know, we may get emails on this, but let's say that happened at Sarah's apartment and you got a notification that, hey, there was a suspect actually tried to come and ring your doorbell while you were gone. That helped lead to his arrest. Just so you know, it was because of the data Amazon sells to law enforcement that we were able to get him. Good job. Justice has been done. How would you feel about that?
Mm.
I know it's hard. It's a hard question. It is
I
for me.
I feel like if it was actually somebody that was trying to rob me, thank you, Amazon. Otherwise, ooh.
I know. This one's very catch-22. Anyway, yeah. We got another email. Mike, a proud patron and self-described cyborg who attended Tom's meetup in Melbourne this week. So that's cool. I heard that went really well, by the way, according to Tom's tweets. Hey, Sarah and Roger, just letting you know, I had an awesome time at the Melbourne meetup yesterday. Really enjoyed meeting Tom and chatting with Raj and Peter and the other DTNS fans. Tom had a good laugh when I mentioned that the first podcast I ever heard him on was actually How I Wow, a World of Warcraft cast podcast. Oh, geez. By Patrick way back in the day. Anyway, keep up the good work while Tom is away. Well, I'll have you know that show spawned from The Instance, a show I host. So we're all in it now, buddy. Mike. We're all in the same soup now.
Full circle. In fact, you should be thanking Scott.
No, thank Patrick. Thank Patrick.
Well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to thank Scott Johnson for being with us every Wednesday. Scott, what's been going on in your world?
Well, other than bad routers and phishing schemes, everything's been going great. There's all kinds of cool stuff happening at the Frog Pants Network, including a brand new site that has all the podcasts, all the artwork, all the everything. You can comment now on everything. It's all there. So we're very happy and proud that thing's finally up. You can find it over at frogpants.com. And today, this month's lab episode for DTNS, which will be next week for me, will deal with how I went from a hacked bunch of web servers to where I am now and how you might be able to do the same. So look forward to that. That's next week for me. And for everything else, follow me on Twitter at Scott Johnson.
Excellent. Thank you also to our patrons and everyone who supports us. You can find out lots of details at dailytechnewsshow.com/support. But Patreon is where our lion's share of all of our, we love our patrons. We love our patrons very much. Patreon.com/DTNS is where you go to find out more information and get a lot of exclusive content as well. And we have DTNS gear. I would like to ask you humbly to tweet Daily Tech News SH. That's our Twitter account. Or if you're in our boss's Slack, upload there. Show us your gear. Show us you wearing your gear. Or you can use good old-fashioned email, which is fine because our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC. You can find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live. Justin Robert Young joins us tomorrow. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.